Welcome to all those that are with us for the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Purim. We're in middle of paragraph Beis. We're up to the words Aval Be'emes Mordechai Shehoya Gamkein. Before we begin, we dedicate the Shir today for a complete Refuah Shalema for all those that need it, especially Shmuel Doi ben Frume Perel, David ben Chanatoiva, Chana Esther Bas Ayola Hadar, David ben Lealiba and his wife Dvora, Yuspe Hendel Bas Gitalea, Sora Rochel Bas Yuspe Hendel, and all the family, Chaviva Chana Bas Galia, and all those that need Refuas and Yeshuas. In the previous year, we described Haman, and why he was happy about the month of Adar being the month that was chosen for him to try to destroy the Jewish nation. And we said that Haman made a poor lottery, which is a concept of shikha, the opposite of zikoron. And it seemed as if it was in the bag, as they say, for Haman. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, Aval, however, even though Adar is the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and Haman thought that that meant the Torah was gone from Bnei Yisrael, Aval Be'emes Mordechai Shehoya Gamkein Bechinas HaTorah Hoyoloi Koyach Legaloi Sahastoros. But the truth is that Mordechai, who was also like the Torah, like a Sefer Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, he also had the ability to reveal the hiddenness of Hashem, Ulahachnioi, and to be machnia, to defeat Haman, ulahoitzi mimenu kol yenikoso shiyonak me'agdusha, and to remove from Haman all of the holiness that Haman was drawing power from, velasois mize Torah chadosha, and to turn that holiness into a new revelation of Torah, bibchinas, as the pasuk says, chayil bola vayikienu. That there are times when the sitrachra, the forces of tuma, swallow up power. They swallow up power, holiness. But in the end, they're forced to give it back, to return it. Vayikienu means to vomit it up. Kamishikos of Rabbeinu Sham, as Rabbeinu Sal writes about this over there in chapter 56 in Likutei Moran, and this is a major theme in the last shir that Rabbeinu Sal gave in his life, the last Rosh Hashanah, the Torah Tiku Teichacha, Chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Dahainu, what this means is Shehoyaloi Koyach Lahachnia Hora. Mordechai had the power to defeat, to bring about the downfall of the evil, Ulahagbia Hachius Shieshon, and to elevate the holiness, the spiritual life from which the Tumah was drawing its power, which had been swallowed up by the Tumah. Mordechai had the power to remove it from them and to elevate it, to return it back into the domain of Kedusha. Ad shoresh yinikosom, mekor achayim. Mordechai had the power to go all the way to the roots, to the source from which Haman Amalek drew from, the source of life. Va'azai yoshu v'yishapech achiyus shoya etzloi bagolus. And then Mordechai had the ability to convert that chius, that spiritual life, which was by Haman in exile, to take it out of there, to bring it back into the domain of holiness, via nasa mizet Torah chadosha, and that this should result in a new revelation of Torah. V'zeh b'chinas mashikos of Rabbeinu Shem. This is tied into what Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 56, shalidei shemachniin ho'atzvus ruach. That when we succeed in defeating the depression, the tumah, the impurity of the snake, which is Amalek, which is what causes depression on the hands. Bechinas, as it says by Moshe Rabbeinu when he was trying to do battle against Amalek, it says, Videi Moshe Kvedin, that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to hold his hands up in prayer, in a display of faith in Hashem, but his hands were heavy, being pulled down by the forces of Tumah, by the Klipos, by this Itzvon Yodayim. When the tzaddik succeeds in defeating Haman, defeating the Sitra Achra, then we are able to lift up our hands. Bechinas eso el shamayim yodi, as Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, I lift up my hands heavenward. Umishom mekablim diburim, and it's from heaven, from up there, that we receive holy words. Bechinas, as it says, elu vo'elu divrei elikim chayim, these and these are both the words of the living Hashem, referring to debates that take place in Gemara, in Torah Shebal Peh. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 56, where Rabbeinu Zal goes into that. Hainu, what this means is, al yidei shemachnien hora, by defeating the forces of evil, al yidei ze menasin es hayodayim, through that we lift up the hands, shehem yad yamin v'yad smoil, which are the right hand and the left hand. Shemishom achizas ha-sitra achra. It's the left hand from which the sitra achra was able to draw power. Menasin shnehem lamala. We lift both of them up heavenward. Lebechinas al-medosi. To connect them to olam haba. Shezeh bechinas shamayim. Which is the concept of shamayim, which is eish umayim biyachad. It's fire and water together. Bechinas elu vo'elu divrei elikim chayim. As the Gemara tells us, that when there's a debate between rabbis, even though in the end we paskin like one of them, we follow one of them, but both of them, both of their opinions are still the word of Hashem. Kuloi toi v'kuloi echad. It's all really one and all good. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, koinein shomayim b'tivuna. Hashem establishes heaven with deep understanding. Sheze b'chinas v'ram givuroisov mi yizboinon. Which is, note the word tivuna was used in that Pasuk. And now Rabbi Nosson Zal brings another Pasuk where it speaks about the thunder that's a display of the givur of Hashem mi yizboinon. Who can understand it? Rav Nosson Zal says, note what we're connecting to here. We're connecting to Bina, which is Olam Haba. That's this Tevuna, and that's this Mi Yizboinon Daika, Bechinas Bina, Al-Meda'asi, Bina Olam Haba, Sheshom Kulo Yechad. Where there, it's all one. Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elikim Chaim. Now note here again, he's referring to Bina as the composite of Keser Chochma Bina, referring to that upper level that's above this world. This world is compared to the seven lower spheres. Bina, in this case, is like a catch-all term for the upper three spheres. V'ad shom tzorech lahagbia hayodayim anal. And we have to try to lift up the hands all the way up to there, all the way up to Bina. V'azai nimshach mishom das godol moid. And by doing that, by elevating both hands, the right and the left, which means that from the left side, from the Sitra Achra, we succeeded in extracting the holiness that was there, that had fallen into there, getting it out of there and elevating that also, then we draw a very high level of Das from heaven, Shehu Bechinas Torah Chadosha, which is referred to as a new revelation of Torah, Shenase mehahastora hanal, which is generated, which is created from that hiddenness, from that hastora, from that holiness that was hidden within the domain of the Sitra Achra. Bibechinas, as the Pasuk says, Chayil bola vayikienu. The Sitra Achra, they swallowed up power, great power, but in the end they're forced to give it back. Ki zois ha-toiro hi toiro gavoyo ve'elyoina ma'oid, kemo shekosov shon. Because that Torah, which is in the domain of the Sitra Achra, that Torah which the Sitra Achra was drawing from, is really a very, very high-level Torah. Kemo shekosov shon, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 56 in Likutei Moran, and as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in the chapter Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi, in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 12. This is related to what it says when the Jews were in Egypt. Egypt was one of the lowest possible spiritual places. 49th level of Tumah. We're told that when it came to getting the Jews out of there, Hashem did not send an angel. Hashem said, only I went down there. Ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy saraf. Why? Because when it comes to going down into the Tumah, only the highest possible level of Kedusha can go down in there and be assured that it will not be harmed in any way. It'll give the Tumah, the Sitrachra, the Chiyus that it needs, or the Chiyus that it's supposed to have, and at the right time, the Tzaddik, a Tzaddik will come along and succeed in rescuing and getting that Kedusha out of there and restoring that, sending it back up to the place of holiness, and that'll result in a revelation of new Chidushei Torah. V'zeh b'chinas ha-Megillah. And this is the concept of Megillah Esther, which is a new Torah, a new book of Torah that was generated through the story of Purim. Shehi nasa mebechina hazois. Megillah Esther was created through this process that we just described here. Kalidei shehizgaber Haman, because as a result of the fact that Haman rose to power, became very powerful. V'hoya oz hastora gedoyla ma'oi. And there was an incredible hiddenness of Hashem, of the powers of Kedusha. Bechinas haster astir, as it says in Chumash Dvarim, that sometimes there'll be hastara shebetoich hastara. Aydei kach, through this, achar kach, afterwards, kishezochu lenatzchoi, when Mordechai and Esther succeeded in defeating Haman, alidei ze nasen bechinas hahastara hazois, Torah chadosha. Then from this hiddenness was revealed new Torah, Shehu Bechinas HaMegillah, which is this additional book of Torah, Megillah Esther, Shehi Torah Chadosho Shenasa Mizeh, which is a new Torah that was brought about through this. Kanal, as we discussed earlier, Ukamay Shekosov Le'el Mizeh Behilchas Kriyas HaTorah Ayin Shon. And Rav Nosson Zal says also, as I discussed this previously, earlier, in an earlier book of Or HaChaim, in the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. Val Shem Zeh Nikra Megillah, and this is why it's called Megillah. We talk about going to a Megillah reading the Megillah. Al Shem Shehi Nase Me Hizgalu Sahastoro. Because this book came into being through a revelation of that which was hidden, that which was originally hidden. And note how high and holy this is. Remember, we mentioned in the previous year that this is Sipurei Maisius Mishonim Kadmonios. This is an ancient story, which is the highest level of Torah. The Gemara says, Mevatlin Talmud Torah Lishmoya Mikra Megillah. That those people who have a sheer kavua in Gemara, or in anything, in any facet of Torah, they put that aside. All of the Torah steps aside to hear the Megillah reading, because this is that Torah Chadosha. This is that highest level Torah that was taken out of the Hastara within the domain of the Sitrachra and brought back into the domain of holiness. Any questions, please? Now, as we're learning this, okay, fine, so you just told me a historical event, something that happened a few thousand years ago, fine. How does this read? Does this have anything to do with me? And this is what Likutei Halachos and Likutei Moran, this is what Breslov is all about, showing how everything in the Torah has a direct practical application to us now today, to each and every one of us, on every level. V'zeh hadovor nase b'chol dor v'doyer v'itzel kol echot v'echot miYisrael kishe oise tshuva be'emes keroi. This process that we described occurs in every single generation by every single Jew when the person makes a decision that they want to really do tshuva, a proper tshuva. Ki zeh b'chinas tshuva. because this is really what the tshuva process is all about. Shemi shenoita miderech hatoiv, that a person who deviated from the right path, ubocha liatzmoi chelik v'goyrel horachas v'shon, and the person chose for themselves a bad portion, chas v'shon, a bad lot, azai yef shaloi sheyistakein v'yoshuv l'derech hatoiv, kiyem al yidei tshuva. It's impossible for that person to repair, to correct their mistake, and to return to the good path, other than through the process of tshuva. Shehu bechinas Shabbos. Tshuva is associated with Shabbos. Rabbi Nizal says in the Kutim Ran that the commandment in the Torah to do tshuva, it says, v'shavto ad Hashem alekecho. You will return to Hashem. And the word shavto is the letters Shabbos. So Shabbos is a concept of tshuva. And our rabbis tell us, again, there's 6 days of the week and there's Shabbos. During the 6 days of the week, the majority of Klal Yisrael is outside. We're out in the marketplace. We're doing business. We're working. We're mingling with Goyim. We're mingling with non-religious Jews. We're rubbing shoulders with all kinds of things that are distant from spirituality. But then Hashem gave us this gift of Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of tshuva. Shabbos is a day when we remove ourselves from the materialism, from the secular, and we devote ourselves completely to holiness, spirituality. Bechinas almadosi, Shabbos is referred to as Olam Haba, kemuvas is brought, wall-to-wall spirituality. Dahinu, this means shehu muchloch lehitztaref ulehibochen baderech ahu sheholach boi. Rav Nosson Zal explains that in order for a person to correct their sins of the past and their mistakes of the place, the person must be tested and go through a refinement process by being put back into that path that they were on beforehand. Bechinas tshuvas hamishkol. This is called tshuvas hamishkol, kemuvaleil, which was mentioned previously. Tshuvas hamishkol means that the tshuva has to match on a scale. It has to balance out exactly the sins. It has to parallel and be a direct match for the sins that the person committed. Da'inu shehu muchroch loshu v'leilech v'lihiois b'chol oison hadrochim horoim shehoyo behem mikoidim. The person must return and go back to and go in those paths, those evil paths that they were in previously. But this time, l'shaber tavosoi, to break the sinful desire, v'yita mehem, and turn away from the evil, v'yosa mehem, and to remove themselves from them. V'tzorich leilich derech kol hadrochim ohem, the person must go back and go through all of those paths of evil that they were in before, ad asher yoshuv lemekoimoi, until the person makes a final return to their proper place, el eim haderech, to the crossroads, shoyresh shnei hadrochim, the source, the origin from which these two paths split out, sheshom kuloi toiv, over there it's all one, it's all goodness. Umishom vahola, mispatzlin umispardin shnei drochim, and it's from there, from that point of origin, that the two roads that they split out to form two different roads. Vze bechinas, and this is what the pasuk says: Hatzivi lecho tzionin, make, carve out for yourself markers. Similoch tamrurim, make for yourself symbols, signs. Shisi libech lamesila derech halach. Turn your heart to that path that you had gone on previously. Shezeh koi al tshuva. That pasuk is referring to the tshuva process. Kama shapir shrabbi seinazal, as our rabbis tell us, shetzorich losum liboi lamesila v'derech sheholach bo mikoidim, that the person must focus and concentrate on that path that they were on previously. Loshu velachzor oisoy haderech l'Hashem Yisborach, to return that path, to correct that path, and return it, plug it back into Hashem, lebechinas tshuva, through the process of tshuva. V'alkein tzorech lahatziv lo tziyunim v'simonim. And this is why the person must make signs for themselves, markers for themselves. For what purpose? Levali koshel v'yisavim chas v'sholem. So that the person shouldn't stumble and mess up again chas v'sholem. Me'acha shekvar to bohem. Since the person knows that they already did fall, they already did get messed up in these areas. Because these paths are very confusing and very mixed up and messed up. The person has to be extremely careful when they find themselves back in that arena. And to make for oneself signs and markers. Levali lochibam chasashamoi, so I shouldn't get trapped in those mistakes again, ever again. Vizehu simi loch tamrurim, make for yourself tamrurim. Dahainu tamrirus halev shesoivel. The word tamrirus also means bitterness. This refers to the bitterness that the person's heart suffers. Shesoivel be'es sheshov ahoylech derech hadrochem amorimoi. When the person finds themselves back in those bitter paths that they were in before, loshuv bederech oisam hadrochim eleim haderech, and to try to return from those paths to get back to the original crossroads. Vitzorich lizboil merirus godoil vekoshem oy. And a person must suffer, endure major bitterness, extremely difficult bitterness. Ad asher yavor kol oison hadrochim hamorim, until the person will go through all of those bitter paths, all of those paths of evil that they went through before, loshuv ledarkoi l'sholom, and to return to the proper path in peace. To where? El Eim Haderech. The term Eim Haderech in Hebrew is used to refer to a place of origin, a single place from which different paths split out. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, note that the word in Hebrew is Eim Haderech, Hi Bechinas Bina, Alma Da'asi. The mother is always Bina. There's a pasuk, Ki Eim La Bina Tikra. This refers to Bina, Olam Haba, Shehi Bechinas Tshuva Kanam. And Tshuva is always associated with Bina. There are 50 levels of Tshuva, 50 gates of Tshuva, and there are 50 levels of Bina. And there are many, many associations in the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Hasidus between Bina and Tshuva. The pasuk that says that a person should really get their act together and do Tshuva, it says there, the final words are ulevava yavin, and the person's heart will understand, will realize the mistakes that they made, vishov, and they will do tshuva varofaloi, and they'll be healed. The last words that are attached to the words vishov, doing tshuva, are ulevava yavin, the heart will understand, bina. Val shem ze nikra tshuva. And that's also why this process is called tshuva, al shem sheshom shovim v'choizrin kol advarim l'sharoshem. Because it's in this process of tshuva that everything is returned to its place of origin. All of those paths, all of those sinful paths, are followed back up to the place where they originated from. Kishom hu kuloi toiv, because at the point of origin, there it's all good. Just like we find the Torah tells us about when Yaakov Avinu and Esav Lahavdil were born. They were born as twins. And when they were first born, identical twins. Identical, as every minute that they started living in the world, we saw that they were both going in two completely total opposite directions. V'haklal And now Rav Nosson Zal summarizes this whole topic, She'ikar Bechinas HaTshuva, that one of the most important aspects of tshuva is She'tzorich Lohoshiv U'lahachzir U'laha'alois Gam HaDerech HaSmoel El Shorosh HaKanal, that the person is required to return and elevate the left side back to its place of origin. And this is accomplished by the person returning, going back to their old neighborhood, going back to the old place where they were before, that the places of sin and errors. Because now, when he gets it right, when he finds himself in those same situations, but this time he makes the right choices, through this he elevates the spiritual light, the spiritual life that's found in those places. This refers to the holy sparks that fell into the domain of the Sidra Achra through that person's sins. When we commit sins, we cause holiness to fall into the domain of the Sidra Achra. And now the person returns those holy sparks back to their original source. Shehu bechinas tshuva. That's this term, to return. Vazai kisheshovim kol hadrochem hamekulkolim lisharoshom. And then, when all of these messed up paths, when they all return back to their source, lebechinas tshuva anal, azai shom choizrim venasim mikol ha'avoinos v'hadrochem ohem toiroch hadosho. Then what happens is, from all of those previous sins that were done there, and from all of those sinful paths, they get converted into a revelation of new Torah. Bebechinas, as we quoted the pasuk before, Chayil Bola, the Sitra Achra swallowed up this holiness, this power, Vayikiena, and is forced to regurgitate it, to give it back. Shenase mizeh Eishes Chayil. That from this is generated Eishes Chayil. From this Chayil Bola is generated the woman of valor, which refers to Torah Chadosha, which refers to a new Torah. We know that that paragraph, which we recite on Friday night, Eishes Chayil Meyimso V'rochoik Mipnina Michra, it's a paragraph from the book of Mishlei, and that paragraph, the Gemara tells us, Rashi, is all about the Torah. The Torah is this Eishes Chayil. V'chein kosav Rabbeinu b'mokam acher. And Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal writes about this in another chapter in Likutei Moran. I believe he's referring to chapter 23. Shemeyavoinos Yisroel sheyizku la'osad l'bechinas tshuva amitiyis azai yenasa mihem toiro chadosha. That from the sins which the Jews committed, which will be zoich in the future to a true tshuva, from those sins will be generated new Torah, a new revelation of Torah. Any questions, please?
Rav Nosson, good morning. The question is, if a person is going to put himself in a situation where they messed up before, there's a risk there. With Simonim, even with all their Hazaras, it's like, what do you want to do that for?
You just said the magic words, the most important words in your sentence, put himself. A Jew is not allowed to do that. A Jew is not allowed to go back to the place of sin that he was in before intentionally. Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here what the Gemara says, what the Rambam speaks about, what all the Sifrei Musar speak about, that this is something that Hashem will bring about. A person is not supposed to look for trouble. We're not supposed to intentionally go to the place of the Sitra Achra to do this. That's very dangerous. Even for the greatest of, for a great tzaddik, it's a difficult, dangerous thing. And the Rabbeinu Zal speaks about that. But for people like us, certainly, we don't just go there. We don't put ourselves in this situation. We find ourselves in those situations. Hashem orchestrates situations whereby a person finds themselves being put back there. And it doesn't even have to be in a physical location. It could be going on in the person's mind, bad thoughts. Rabbi Elazar says in chapter 21 of Likutei Moran, a very famous statement of the Sifrei Kabbalah and Hasidus, that wherever a person's mind is, that's where the person is. If a person's mind is in Tumah, then Chas V'Shalom, that's where the person is. If a person's mind is in holiness, they're there. So through thought alone, by a person's thoughts flying all over the place, and remembering things that I did in the past, reminding myself and reliving some of those things even in thought, and by the person being careful not to linger there, not to linger in the sinful thoughts, in the sinful aspect, but rather to jump right into kiddush, right into holiness or something else, that's one of the ways that the person performs this correction. But also there's this concept of deja vu, which is a famous expression in French that means where a person feels, I feel like I was once here before. That many or all of us go through in life experiences like this, where a person finds themselves in a similar situation or a similar place they were in before, and that's part of this tshuva process. Not just part, it's a critical part. That's this term tshuva samishkol, that the tshuva has to match the sin. It's got to be in a similar... The Rambam writes, he says the person has to be in the same place with the same woman, with the same scenario. That's the way he writes it. We know that the Sifrei Kabbalah Hasidus tell us that, again, sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be physically identical circumstances, whereas in spiritual form, Hashem creates a parallel scenario, a comparable scenario, and if the person makes the right choice, the right decision this time, the sin is corrected.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
This is also the concept of Gilgul, the whole concept of Gilgul, where a soul is brought back into the world to correct sins of the past. There's a very famous statement by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that in Parshas Mishpatim, we know that Parshas Mishpatim is the parsha of the Torah that deals most with litigation between man and fellow man. All kinds of laws of damages, property damage, personal damage, every type of variation. And the Gemara's Baba Kama, Baba Betzia, Baba Basra are based especially on that parsha in the Torah, which speaks again about monetary laws between man and fellow man. In the Zohar HaKadosh, Parshas Mishpatim, there's a famous chapter in there, several pages, which is called Sava de Mishpatim, the Sava, the great old man of Mishpatim, where the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that an old person revealed himself to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his students, and he revealed to them the whole topic of Gilgul. That's where the whole topic of Gilgulim is really gone into in depth in the Zohar HaKadosh, over there in the Sava de Mishpatim, that section of the Zohar HaKadosh. So the Baal Shem Tov says, what in the world does this have to do with that? And he gives a moshel, a famous moshel, about two people who were involved in a transaction, a financial transaction, where one of them fooled the other one. He tricked the other one and illegally, and then they ended up going to Beis Din, to court, and the judge in the court wasn't really a tzaddik, and he was affected by bribery or by other things, and he judged in favor of the wrong person, the Russia. And the Baal Shem Tov says, these three come back to the world, and one of them has a big bag of money, and he's walking in a forest, and he's very tired, and he lies down to sleep in the forest, and he puts the bag of money next to himself. Another person comes by later while he's sleeping, sees this person sleeping, and sees this bag of money over there, and walks away with it. Walks away with it, have a good day. And the person still continues sleeping. Then, as the person is starting to come out of his sleep, a third person comes along and is standing in the vicinity over there. And the one who was sleeping looks up and he sees the money missing and he sees this person over there and he says, I caught you. And he grabs him and he says, give me back my money. And the guy's screaming, what money? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you don't know. I'll show you. And he beats the daylights out of him. He smashes him to smithereens and doesn't get his money back. And a person sees this and says, why? Why in the world did Hashem let this happen? And the Baal Shem Tov says, these three are the three who were here previously. The one who lost the money bag was the one who took away the money from that individual illegally. The one who got beaten up was the judge who gave a false decision, gave a wrong decision, and deserved to get really beaten up for it. And the one who walked away with the money this time was the one who the money was really his, that money that was taken from him illegally. And this is used as an example to let us know, again, how Hashem rearranges and writes everything, puts everything back together the way it's supposed to be.
Rabbi, you mentioned we're not supposed to go back to the place where we have the difficulty and everything in order to do tshuva.
Correct.
And when we're talking here, it reminds me of that I believe Rabbeinu says that going to Uman for Rosh Hashanah is this kind of idea of going to the place of the Sitra Acha and making him throw up what he swallowed and things, but we go there intentionally. So how does that work?
The answer is, again, we're going there to the tzaddik, with the tzaddik, only. Going there, a person going there on their own, going as a tourist to tour the sites of Ukraine has to be a little crazy, little nuts, not just spiritually, just on a physical level. One of the ugliest places on earth, you know. But again, because the tzaddik said so, and because the tzaddik is there, he is positioned there, and he's positioned there for this purpose. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this, about certain tzaddikim who must be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael, like Moshe Rabbeinu. And the other, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, certain great tzaddikim that are buried outside of Eretz Yisrael, whereby a major part of their responsibility is, will and will be, to ensure that the kibbutz goliyos, that all the Jews of Chutz Laretz, will also be able to return to Eretz Yisrael, be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it is. You know, again, and this is based on that last chapter in Likutei Moran, the final shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave, Tikkut Eichocha. There, Rabbeinu Zal really goes into elaborate detail on this topic of Chel Bola Veikienu, and the topic of the tzaddik, searching for the tzaddik. That's really the main source upon which Rabbi Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos has major halachos, giving us many examples of this. In fact, in the Parbrois L'Chochman, that chapter in Likutei Moran, he tells us that we know that Yom Kippur is the climax, the just about the final completion of the tshuva process. And Mincha on Yom Kippur is, you know, when we're getting towards the end of Yom Kippur, there's a special Haftorah that we read once a year on Yom Kippur. It's called Maftir Yona. And in shuls where they sell aliyahs on the high holidays, very often that aliyah goes for the biggest price because it's an incredible Haftorah which tells the story about the prophet Yona Hanavi, who was actually a person who was brought back to life by Elianovi. He's the child that was brought back to life by Elianovi. Yona ben Amitai. And Amitai is a nickname for Elianovi. Elianovi ha-tishbi, ha-tagilodi, ha-amiti. And we're told that Hashem told Yona Hanavi to go to a city, the city of Nineveh, where they're following the path of Sodom and Amorah, all kinds of evil and sins, and tell them that either they repent, otherwise they're going to be wiped off the map. And Yona Hanavi tries to escape Hashem. He tries to run away from this mission and avoid performing the mission. And he gets on a boat and he goes away to Tarsh. And then a storm breaks out at sea and the ship looks like it's about to be destroyed completely. And everyone, all hands on deck, the captain and all the sailors, who are sailors aren't usually very spiritual people, although the Gemara says, Hasafnin Ruban Chasidin, that sailors do have a certain spiritual side to them, because they know that sometimes they're only in Hashem's hand. You know, they can have all the instruments and tools, the right storm breaks out, they're in big trouble. So that everybody's crying out to Hashem, and they go searching to the boat, through a boat to see if anyone's missing. And they want to discover who's responsible for this storm. This doesn't look like any typical kind of storm at all. And they discover Yonah HaNavi, who is sleeping in his cabin. And they wake him up and they tell him, hey, we need everyone, we need you to scream to your Hashem. And they draw lots, they make a goyrol to discover who's responsible for this storm, and it comes out to Yonah. And they ask him, what's your story? And he tells them, I was actually running away from Hashem. Hashem wants me to do a mission, and I tried to get out of it. And he says to them, the only solution, the only way this storm is going to subside is if you throw me into the sea. And now all of these God-fearing sailors, seeing Hashem in action, seeing this incredible storm, they're screaming, no, we don't want to throw somebody into it. For what? You're not a criminal. No, he says, there's no other choice. That's the only thing that's going to calm this storm. You must do it. And he gets himself ready. And sure enough, they end up doing it. They lift him up, they throw him into the sea. And the Navi says there that all the sailors on that ship were all Chozer B'tshuva. When they saw that the moment he went into the water, that the storm subsided miraculously, everyone, the captain, all the sailors, were Chozer B'tshuva, major, major tshuva. And then he's swallowed up by the sea, and he's swallowed up by this big fish. And inside this fish, he's screaming to Hashem for 3 days straight. And the Navi tells us his prayer, the incredible prayer of Yonah Navi, where he says, "Mi beten she'ol shivati elecha." Hashem, I'm crying out to you from the bowels of darkness inside this fish. And then the fish spits him out, and Rabbi Nachman Shirin quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, says that this is our story. This is our story about the Kedusha getting swallowed up by the Sitra Achra, and through that, causing an unbelievable, a nuclear explosion of tshuva, where number one, all the sailors on the ship did tshuva. And then Yonah goes to the city of Nineveh, and they all do tshuva. The king says he's declaring a fast day. Men, women, children, and animals are fasting. No one's going to eat. And the king himself takes his crown off his head, and he sits down on the floor, praying to Hashem. A nuclear tshuva experience. This is what we read on Yom Kippur. This is our story here about this Chel Bola V'yakienu. And that's why we read it on Yom Kippur at Mincha, because this is when we're finalizing this process of all of our sins getting converted to Torah Chadosha, this new revelation, this new Hizgalus of Torah, this Megillas Esther, this revelation. And this is what maybe the connection we mentioned before, that the Zohar HaKadosh says Purim and Yom Kippur are very linked together. Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippurim. And Likutei Halachos, in a few places, he shows us the analogy. Here's another comparison between what took place on Purim, the miracle of Purim, where it says, Verabim Me'ame, where Esther Hamalka was swallowed up by the Sitra Achra. She was taken into Achashverosh's palace, the ultimate house of ill repute. And through this, the Megillah says at the end, Verabim Me'ame Ha'oretz Misyadim. Many of the non-Jews converted at the time, Ki Nofal Pachad HaYehudim Aleim, because the fear of the Jewish nation came upon them. And again, this new revelation of Torah. I'm giving you a little bit, a taste, of what Rav Nosson Zal discusses in a few other places in Likutei Halachos on this topic. Any other questions, please? Someone raised the question, was it Eliyahu Hanavi or Elisha Hanavi that brought Yonah Hanavi back to life? I'm just about positive that it was Eliyahu Hanavi, who is called Amittai. Okay, let's continue. Paragraph Dalet. V'zeh mitzvah zechira samolek. And this will explain the great mitzvah in the Torah, zochor es asher oselecha amolek, which we read before the Shabbos before Purim. Shekol maisei amolek, dahinu his gabrus hasidrach ral hachalush shekoyach shebiyisroel. All of the actions of Amalek, meaning the Sidrachra trying to overpower the weak people in the Jewish nation, Sheha'onon Poilton, which the miracle clouds rejected, those that were not taken in by those miracle clouds that followed the Jews in the desert, Vehu Machsheloisam, and Amalek tries to get them to fall, to stumble. Alkein tzrichin lahagbia oisam. Therefore, we have to lift up those weak ones, ulahachziram lemekoimam, and to return them to their proper place, lebechinas tshuva, shehi bechinas anane kovoy, which is represented by those holy clouds, bechinas sukkah, which is associated with the sukkah that we make, bechinas ima demesakha albnin. And the Zohar Kodesh tells us that the term sukkah refers to a mother who hovers over, who covers her children in a protective way. And this is why, how do we respond to Amalek? By remembering Zohar, Zohar Daiko. Kitzorech lahachzir mais Amalek lebechinas zikoroin. We have to return the mess that Amalek made. Amalek, who we said is the concept of shikha, the poor, which is shikha, to return it to the bechin of zikoroin, shehu bechinas almedosi, which is olam haba, tshuva. V'zeh nase bechol shona v'shona. And this is not just something that occurred thousands of years ago. This is happening now, every single year. Bebechinas, as it says clearly in the Megillah, hayomim ha'ele nizkorim v'nasim bechol shona v'shona. That these days of Purim are remembered and reenacted every single year, mishpacha u'mishpacha, in every single family, u'medina medina, in every country, ve'ir vo'ir. Shekol echot ve'echot shezoichel lenatzeach melchemes Amalek, so that every single Jew who is zoichet to defeat my Amalek, ve'zoichel loshu b'tshuva, and is zoichet to do a real tshuva, Azai choizrim hayomin, that person restores and returns and corrects their days, the damaged days of the past. Sheim bechinas hamidois, days are synonymous with measurements. Sheshom habechira, and that's where the real arena of choices between good and bad. Because Rabbeinu Zal tells us in chapter 33 in Likutei Moharan, Ki yesh yemei toiv v'yemei ra. There are good days and bad days in this world. V'choizrin kulam el mekoimam. And through tshuva, we're able to plug all of them, the good days and the bad days, back into their origin. Shehu ha-tshuva, which is through the process of tshuva. Shehu bechinas zikoron kanal, which is the concept of remembering. Shehu lemala mehayomim, which is above the concept of days. Bechinas kulay toiv kanal, just like on Shabbos in the Ten Commandments. Zochor es yoim hashabbos lekadshoy, remember to sanctify the Shabbos. And we said that Shabbos is olam haba. Veshom nischatshin venasim mechodosh, and there, these old days get laundered. They get washed and restored anew. V'nasa mehem yemei toiv. They get converted to good days. Dahainu Torah, which means a new revelation of Torah. Just like the Gemara says, that when a person does tshuva meyira, then their sins get erased. When a person does tshuva me'ahava, their sins get converted to mitzvahs. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is what we say, the famous statement of tshuva that's found at the end of Eicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. Hashem, please allow us to return to you. Bring us back to you. Let us return. Chadesh yomeinu kekedem. Renew our days the way they were originally. Kishezoichen lo shuvei lo b'chinas tshuva. When we're zeichet to return to Hashem in the form of tshuva, shom nizchatshin hayomim kimekedem. There, those days, those damaged days, those days that had sins in them, the days when we didn't learn Torah, we didn't do mitzvahs, those days get restored and refreshed, brand new. They come out like spanking clean, fresh laundry with that good smell. V'zeh b'chinas kriyas hamegillah b'chol shana v'shana. And this is why, this is the concept of reading the Megillah every single year. Ki b'chol shana v'shana na'aseh ha'nes shel mapolas somer ha'molek yadua. Because every single year on Purim, for those Jews who observe the mitzvahs of Purim as best as we can, we try to learn about Purim and we try to fulfill all the mitzvahs of Purim as best as we can. For us, that miracle of bringing about the downfall of Haman Amalek is reenacted. V'oz oisin Purim, and then we celebrate Purim, v'koyrin ha-Megillah, and we read the Megillah, shenasis mizeh, which was generated through this process of tshuva. Remember, it tells us that, remember, the whole story of Purim began by us messing up, by participating in the Suda v'Achashverosh. And one rabbi says, we bow to an idol, all kinds of terrible things. The Jews were almost in a state of yiyush at the time. The 70 years, we thought that the 70 years had passed already of exile, and who knows if we'll ever get back to Eretz Yisrael. And it was then that this great miracle took place. Excuse me just for a moment. Today is Erev Tisha B'Av, and it's incredibly timely that we just quoted this pasuk, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'Nashuva Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem. I would ask a person, where is that? Where do you think that pasuk is? And a person would say, probably in the Haftorah for Shabbat Shuvah or something like that. That pasuk appears towards the end of Megillas Eicha, and which we're going to read tonight. And those that can, we read it again tomorrow morning. Tonight it's read usually by a public reading that the one person leads the Megillah. It's brought in Sforim. A person should try to read Megillah Seicha again during the morning hours. And the question is, what is this all about? We're mourning, we're sitting and mourning and crying and bemoaning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then Tisha B'Av's over and we go back to our old ways. Is that what this is all? Is that what the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Erev Tisha B'Av is all about? What's the tachlis? What's the bottom line? What's the purpose of all of this mourning? And this, Rav Nosson Zal points out, look in Eicha, look in Megillas Eicha, where there, at one point it says, just a moment, there's tremendous sadness and mourning and expressing how the terrible tragedies that took place. And at one point it says that we thought, it appeared to us, as if there's no hope, there's nothing we can do. And then it says, but chazdei Hashem ki loy samnu, ki loy cholu rachamav. Hashem's kindness, it's Hashem's infinite kindness, sees to it that we are not destroyed completely, we're not eliminated completely. And ki lo cholu rachamav, because Hashem's kindness is infinite. That pasuk appear, here it is, in chapter 3 of Eicha, which begins with ani hagever ro'oni. This is where Yirmi Anofi gives a eulogy. He eulogizes Yoshio HaMelech, who was one of the greatest kings of the Jewish people. And he was murdered But by the Romans, they shot 300 arrows into his body and killed him. And there it says that the beginning of the paragraph speaks about how terrible and terrible it was. And in sentence Yud Ches, the Navi says, Va'oimar, and I said, Ovad Nitzchi, my eternal hope is lost. Ovad Nitzchi v'sechalte me'ashem. I thought that everything is lost. And then he says, Zohar Tizkor Visoshua Halainavshi. Remember. And he says, Zois Oshiv Elibi Al Kein Oichil. This is what I'll return to my heart. This is what I'll tell my heart at this point. Al Kein Oichil. And therefore, I will express my hopefulness. What through what? Chazde Hashem Kiloi Somnu Kiloi Cholu Rachamov. That Hashem's kindness is infinite. His rachmonis is never ending. Chadoshim labekorim rabba emunasecha. Every new day in the morning, every day is a new day. A new eschachus of emuna. Emuna in Hashem. Chelki Hashem omra nafshi. My soul tells me about my portion that I have with Hashem. Al kein oichel. Therefore, I still have hope. I don't lose hope. Toiv Hashem lekoivov lenefesh tidrashenu. Hashem is good for all those who yearn for Him, for the soul that seeks Him out. Toiv yochel. And all the sentences after this are all optimistic. And then we come to the end of the fifth chapter of Eicha, where it says there. Again, Nofla Teres Roshenu, the crown of our head has fallen, the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. Oilonu Kichotonu, woe is for us that we have sinned. Alzeh Hoyodova Libenu, this is why our heart is in pain. Al Ele Choshkoinenu, this is why our eyes are blind. And he says, but he ends off on Al Har Tzion Sheshomein. Over the mountain that was destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash that was destroyed, Shu'olim Hilchuboy, foxes are walking there now. But then, now comes the grand finale. Ato Hashem lo'olam teshev. You, Hashem, will rule eternally. Kisacho ledor vador. Your throne is eternal from generation to the generation. Lomo lo'netzach tishkochenu. Hashem, why should you forget us eternally, tazveinu loyach yomim, and leave us for at the end of days. And the final statement, hashiveinu Hashem eilecho v'nashuvo chadei shameinu kikedem. Hashem, please accept us back, help us do a real tshuva, and renew our days. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that again, the Gemara tells us that there are 3 weeks of Puranusa, where we read the Haftorahs, which speak about the punishment and suffering that the Jews went through up until Tisha B'Av. Then those are the three Shabbosim before Tisha B'Av. Then the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av is called Shabbos Nachamu, when for 7 weeks after that, Hashem is consoling us and assuring us that He will never leave us permanently, that we're coming back and we're coming back new and improved and stronger. 7 weeks of Nechama, but then the climax is 2 weeks of tshuva, two haftorahs of tshuva. The haftorah before Rosh Hashanah and the haftorah Shabbos tshuva of between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's what this is all about. It's a process that starts with darkness, Puranusa, suffering, that's the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, then 7 weeks of Hashem consoling us and assuring us and reassuring us, Hashem and His tzaddikim consoling us and reassuring us, but then the grand finale, the final accomplishment is those two haftorahs of tshuva. That's what this is really all about, for all of us to recognize that the Gemara says any generation during which the Beis Hamikdash has not been rebuilt, the implication is that if the Beis Hamikdash were standing today now, It would be burned down. Why? Because of me. Because I have not yet corrected the things that I need to correct. Every one of us needs to feel that way and to want to do a sincere tshuva. And again, as we go through the mitzvahs of Erev Tisha B'Av, the